We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Yeah, I just didn't go far enough up in the guide, you know. I didn't click up to because I've got like six ESPN channels anymore, and I was like, where is this thing? And I just didn't because I sit so far away from the TV. I'm not like Abe. I don't have 12 TVs.
No, that's called a deflective shot. That was a deflective shot.
Yeah. It was a deflective shot.
So I go from being petty, and John goes immediately to being deflective.
Yeah, going straight at Abe's neck, and you Abe ain't even said nothing.
He's just sitting there with a sleepy dog, hopefully a sleepy dog right now that's not making any noises.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. We're going to start the morning mashup.
Story number one.
With some movie news here. Movie / sports / biopic news. Jamie Foxx, right, like 5 years ago, was on a Hot 97. He talked about this idea he had for a Mike Tyson biopic and the opening scene he was going to do. Well, that's coming to reality, and Jamie has gotten in Mike Tyson condition. He's gaining weight right now. Said he hopes to be 216 pounds when they start filming a Mike Tyson biopic that he's going to star in. His workout, he's doing 60 pull-ups, 60 dips, and 100 push-ups. So the upper body, he said he's going to have. The lower body, he says he does not think he'll have, so they may have to use prosthesis to give him bigger calf muscles. But when he's playing young Mike, he said he's going to be about 216. And then he says when he plays old Mike, he's going to gain about 20 pounds and get to about 225, 230. And that's going to let him look at about 250 on screen. So, yeah, Jamie Foxx getting in shape, getting in Mike Tyson shape to play Mike Tyson in a biopic.
You know what, man? I've always wondered how, you know, when actors and actresses gain weight for certain roles, like, they got to do that in a short period of time. You know, it takes a while for the film to shoot or whatever. But I always wonder how they do that stuff, man. I mean, because that's a whole regimen, like, of eating. And if you're not naturally, you know, if you're not predisposed to being that size, it's hard to keep that weight on. You know, especially for Jamie, who's always been kind of a smaller guy,
mm-hmm,
for him to get to that size and have to maintain that, man, he must be eating a lot of calories a day, a ton of calories.
You know, you would think in this day and age, you know, I mean, back in the day, you know, if you're not showing, you know, skin, obviously you can wear a fat suit, but you would think in this day and age that they could kind of digitally do that, right? I mean, you would think.
I mean, but I guess it wouldn't lend to the authenticity.
Yeah,
if that is the case, it wouldn't lend to that. So no, I don't think they want to do that. But it's just, I just find that amazing that they're able to bulk up or slim down as quickly as they can and just do it. I guess they're doing it naturally, or somewhat naturally. Yeah, that I just find that amazing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, when they, you know, the Joker, how much weight did he lose? I mean, he was frail. I mean, he was like gaunt. Or Russell Crowe put on a, you know, 50 pounds, 60 pounds. Yeah, I mean, put their body through to go do that here. But you left off the big part of this, Oren. What about the face tattoo?
What do you mean, John? They going
I guess at some point he'll get the face tattoo. But Jamie didn't talk about the face tattoo. I guess, I mean, that sounds like it's going to be easier to do. Yes, older Mike.
That's older Mike Tyson.
That's going to be easier to do. I mean, you got to put the weight on now. That's
face tattoo, it's
like 30 minutes in the makeup chair. You good?
Yeah, they got stuff to make the tattoo stay on long enough for them to shoot the scene or whatever. That ain't a problem.
Now the question is, will we get an encore of the real Mike Tyson and get a real Mike Tyson fight, too, on top of all of this? That'd be kind of neat, you know, come out with a movie at the same time he's going to be fighting again. We'll see. Morning Mashup story number two.
All right, so we had the long gone summer 30 for 30 this past weekend with the home run chase in 98 between Sosa and McGuire. The guy who caught the 70th home run ball from Mark McGuire, you know how much he paid for that ball?
Like $3 million.
$3 million. Take a wild guess what that ball was worth now.
$10 million.
$300,000 to $400,000. No, it is depreciated in value so much so, but the guy isn't upset about it. He quote, "If you look at it as buying a baseball dollar in dollar out, I'm the stupidest guy on the planet. It's a $3 baseball. I overpaid by a million times that amount, so it doesn't make any sense. But even if I get zero for it, I've made that money back 5 to 10 times over in the last 15 years." So he said, even though the baseball isn't worth what it once was, the opportunities and the networks he's been able to sort of get in with that baseball have increased the value of the baseball, not just with the dollar amount he got for it, but I guess in his own personal experience. But, yeah, that ball has depreciated that much in that amount of time. 22 years, it's gone down in value from $3 million what he bought it for to $300,000 to $400,000.
You could spin that story however you want to spin it, but you out of what, 2.7 mil, something like that. Yeah. I don't care how many connections you've made and all that other good stuff. You overpay for a baseball that is not worth as much as you pay for it. No, that can't be a good feeling. But I guess if you're as rich as this man is, because he did pay for it, he paid for the ball, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? He can spend it however he want to spend it, because he probably has money to burn. So yeah, but nah, yeah. In the reality of everything, nah, I can't see anything that you're doing in life can give you, like, when you talk about you can't even sell that ball back, and you bought it to appreciate and it depreciated. Nah, I can't see that.
Barry, did it go into detail at all, or in this story, about what he meant by networking and stuff like that? You know, I mean, what, do you just call up somebody and say, hey, listen, I want to be on the board at Apple. I have Mark McGuire's 70th baseball, home run baseball.
Oh, okay, something like that. Yeah.
I mean, okay, yeah. Since you have the baseball, then yeah, sure, we'll put you on the board.
Well, he looks
you
at
got
it
the
as
baseball. Oh my gosh,
the national attention that he's gotten from it, sort of having his face in the forefront of things like that. So I mean, it's when you pay that much for something, there's going to be national exposure that comes with it, and
I guess.
He's getting
you know
more
what the dude looks like?
Now,
I don't
so.
Know. I don't know his name or what he looks like.
I forgot his name. Yeah, I forgot his name. He was on the Long Gone Summer. I forgot his name.
Todd McFarlane is his name.
Yeah, but Todd I forgot McFarlane. It just that oh, quick it. And you said it. Yeah. What's his name again? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Todd McFarlane.
But yeah. Man, come on, man. That, really? Like, you can spin that story however you want to spin it. That, nah.
Nah.
You lost
Fire beware. Caveat emptor, as they teach you in school.
Let me ask you guys this real quick. The most money you have spent on memorabilia, or the most money you would spend on memorabilia?
Well, I haven't bought any memorabilia, so I haven't done it yet. But I probably spent like $20.
Yeah, I've never bought any memorabilia either. Yeah, I might spend $100 if it was really important to me. But I can't see getting to 1,000. No.
What about you, Orin? How much you? What's your ceiling?
What's that?
What's your ceiling as far as spending money? If you would spend.
I'd like to have a Super Bowl ring. I don't know what I'd pay for. I wouldn't pay what the $1.1 million that somebody paid for crafts or whatever. But I mean, like, that would just be cool to have, and it have to be. It couldn't be one of the front office rings. It'd have to be an on-field player ring. Like, it'd have to be somebody that played the game, that was in the game, that, like, got on the sheet, the participation sheet. It'd have to be one of those.
Gotcha.
I'm not even sure what I'd buy, Hugh. I have no idea what I would even – I'd have to – you know, it's a good question. Give me a day or so to think about it. Right off the top of my head, I'm not sure.
Well, definitely be something that would definitely appreciate, I would think. You know,
yeah,
it would definitely
right.
be something like that. Like, you know, who knows? Like, maybe some Michael Jordan shoes or whatever. Something like that. But nothing that's going to depreciate. No, that would be depressing.
Morning mashup, story number three.
Let's go to the NFL here. It was announced yesterday that Hard Knocks this year is going to be L.A.-based with – the Chargers and the Rams. Going to be on the HBO show. Sean McVay talked yesterday, and he, like John Harbaugh, had some issues. I got the right Harbaugh, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Harbaugh in Baltimore had some issues with the whole NFL guidelines. And if we're supposed to social distance, football makes it kind of difficult to do that.
We're talking about some of this stuff and we're playing football. I mean, we're going to social distance, but we play football. This is really hard for me to understand all this. I don't want to be, I don't get it.
Yeah. This is going to be tough. And it's going to be, you know, some of the guidelines that you're asking people to follow are going to be ridiculous, especially when you're talking about just getting in the huddle. Getting in the huddle like that, that's going to be an issue. How are you going to do in the huddle? Like, you could probably do it in training camp where you're not that close together. But on Sunday, you're probably going to have to be close together. You're probably going to have to be close together. So this is going to be interesting to see how all of this plays out for the NFL and what happens when guys start to test positive. What happens with the league?
Did you guys see the pictures of the proposed or somebody's proposed new helmets for the NFL?
Yeah, with the Chicago Bears. Yeah, that's Master Chief. That's a Master Chief helmet. Yeah, I would think that would be hard to breathe. You know, I mean, and it's, even though it might be easy to breathe psychologically, it's hard to breathe because, like I said, I've worn a mask. You know, the face shield. And it took me a while, even though, you know, the mouth was not covered. But just getting used to wearing that face shield took me a little bit of time to do that when the season started. So, yeah, that's going to be a shift. If everybody's doing that, man, that's going to be different.
Morning Mashup story number 4.
All righty. Last one, we're going to go to the PGA Tour. They're having an event this weekend in South Carolina. And Adam Hadwin was on the course yesterday and hit a shot. And there may or may not have been a penalty. He moved what he thought was a rock, but the rock turned out to be sand. So he talked to a rules expert and tried to get it straight what he had to do. The rules expert told him, well, he probably was going to be penalized for it. And this is the privilege of having golfers mic'd up, and you can hear things like this.
I mean, I can tell you right now, there's no possible way I can hook this around the trees.
What about?
So I could try and play a wedge to the front. It should get 30, right? And then play from there. But you're right. I mean, it's very, very close to hitting a knot. Okay, thanks. Well, not thank you, but yeah. Screw you, but thanks.
Golf humor.
Yeah, golf humor. And they keep micing up a golfer every time, and we'll find the Hadwin was okay. We'll find the guy though that'll be really good. A little quarantine catch up and more morning menu coming up later in this hour. Morning show with John and Hugh on a Friday on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game, of course streaming worldwide at radio.com. Right now is CBS Sports Minute.
To be cautiously optimistic, you have to weigh what you're talking about. Are you talking about getting a sport going that can be observed? Namely, you're not going to have people sitting in the stands close to each other. If you can get away with either televised completely or a very serious social distancing.
That is a voice that the United States has come to know fairly well over the last 3 months, Dr. Anthony Fauci. Talking about the NFL and about the NFL's restart, and he's, I guess it really applies to every sport for that matter. Fauci talking about, you know, can you play without fans? Because he's got reservations in regards to the idea of fans in the stands. Though we're starting to see, the model that we'll use is NASCAR. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. Because, Hugh, last week NASCAR had 1,000 fans. They were military members spread out in the stands, socially distanced at Homestead. And this week at Talladega, they're going to have 5,000 fans.
Yeah, Talladega's a big place, though. So, you know, 5,000 people there, that's not going to look that like a whole lot compared to what it could be at Talladega. So, yeah. I mean, you know, they're going to be socially distanced as well. you're going to just have to go move slowly with this as far as trying to get people back in. And as you just heard, you know, Atlanta United player tested positive. This is something that we're going to be dealing with for a while, John.
Oh, no question about that. There was kind of a bit of good news. The WHO came out yesterday and said it was confident that we will have multiple vaccines. And the reason it's multiple is because they're working on, I guess, a number of fronts here in terms of synthetic and live vaccines, different kinds of vaccines, by the end of the year. So that would be phenomenal. I know that they're working overtime to try to get that done. So if they're confident we're going to have multiple vaccines by the end of the year, that would be a very good thing for all of us. It is interesting, though, that everybody's looking at NASCAR because nobody else has started with fans, just them. They're the first ones kind of out of the block, and they're the ones kind of leading the way here for all these other leagues. And so there's going to be protocols at NASCAR. NASCAR's going to work through stuff, you know, and as they work through things, other leagues are going to be paying attention to how do you handle, like, for example, at Talladega, Hugh. What they did was this. They again, at Homestead in Miami, they had 1,000 people that they invited that were military members from the local Air Force base. At Talladega, they're 5,000 regular fans, and they pulled these names from the list of fans that had already purchased tickets. They had to live within 150 miles of the racetrack, all right?
So it's like lottery style.
Yeah, something like that, right. A lottery style to a point, you couldn't live beyond 150 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So within 150 miles, you had already purchased tickets, and then they let you know. And then now how do they handle the protocols in terms of how they park, in other words, keeping people distanced, in parking, and, where do you enter from? How do you handle the, for example, going into the stadium and going into the grandstands and where you go through and taking your temperature? They're saying that none of the concession stands are going to be open. Or what they're going to offer is a box lunch, like, when you get it on a plane sometimes and you just grab a box as you go on. Have you ever done that?
Yeah, I know the box. Yeah, I'm familiar with the box lunches, yeah.
And so they're going to have a box, kind of box lunch thing that you can just grab on your way in, and so that'll be it. That's your concessions for the race. It's not like there's going to be a concession.
So you better, hey, you better let them chips last you a long time. you better eat them chips one at a time, and you better space them out. Like you better eat a chip every 5 to 10 minutes.
I just wondered about how hot it's going to be in the stands and how long that Snickers is going to last. You may have to
not
go.
Not only that, shoot that.
You may have to drive to that first.
You bring, like, I'm assuming you can't bring your own refreshments in, because the one thing I remember about going to Dover is I saw people, the biggest case of beer that you could possibly carry, bringing it into the stands with them. I mean, I remember that. I don't know if that's going to be allowed with this, but that's the one thing that I remember vividly about Dover, is people were bringing in, like, cases of beer, because, if you're going up top, you don't want to have to walk all the way down and get your refreshments.
Right.
So, yeah, that's what I remember. So, yeah, that's going to be probably different for folks.
Yeah, well, there was, that. And then, of course, the other story that had to do with the pandemic, that had people up in arms, is that, and I thought it was so interesting just because of the way these stories, you read a headline. And one of the things that's true about, the media, which media and I don't get along so much anymore after all my years, so I don't do it anymore.
Like a bitter dude, Don. Don't be bitter.
No, it's
don't
just that, Hugh, the media, whether, on the right or on the left, the media is just all about, promoting their own, agenda, whether it's on the right or on the left. And it did, how about somebody just cover the news? The airlines, because headlines are the same way. So there's a big headline, the airlines are going to ban alcohol on flights due to the pandemic. So, and the story goes, and then you got to read, okay? So they are going to ban alcohol. Did you see this story, Hugh, by any chance?
I saw the headline.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't fly anyway, John, so that was not nothing that bothered me. I know a lot of people, when they get on a plane, they need their adult beverage to kind of like get through. But no, that's nothing that really bothered me too much, because I don't like to fly.
Yeah, and for as much as I've flown in my life, I don't drink on planes. All things being, hands up here, I used to, for a long time, I smoked. And and when the airlines first banned smoking on the plane, now you can't even imagine what it would be like if somebody lit up a cigarette on a plane. But it used to be, Hugh, in the back, in the smoking section, man, You know, as soon as they turned off that, you know, smoking light, man, 20 people lit up. And
you used to be in the back of the plane getting it in, hot boxing John, puff, puff, pass.
Well, yeah, puff, puff, pass, right. You know, I mean, if you could get into the smoking seats, because you couldn't, because they'd always fill up first. But I always thought, too, you know, it's like the whole thing with food. You can't last 2 hours without food. You can't last, you know, eat before you get on the plane, drink before you get on the plane, you know, smoke a cigarette before you get on the plane. I mean, whatever. It's 2 hours, you know, I mean, unless you're going overseas. Now, that's the kicker to the story. That's why you read into this story. Understand something. Remember when there used to be no beer sales at college football games? Oh, you guys can't have alcohol. Now you can, right? In the SEC? Mm-hmm. In most places. You guys, no, there's just, you know, we have this high and mighty rule that, no, there's no alcohol in the stands at an SEC football game. But the people that are sitting up there in the luxury box, oh, they got the liquor cabinet up there. You know, because for them, they're special people. You lunch bucket heads, no, you don't count. Go into the story. Guess what? Meanwhile, alcohol will be available for passengers in first class. Okay.
Hasn't it for the most part always been like that? Because, like, I know when you used to get on the plane, like, that was one of the first things they would ask you. Would you like a beverage, sir?
Yeah, you got drinks first, right?
Yeah, you like most people like shoot when they got in that first class. If they got that beverage, it was on. It was on and popping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they didn't have to pay for it either.
No, it was free. Yeah, so yeah.
Yeah. But still at the same time, it's like, really? I mean, you're going to come with this high and mighty thing. We want to limit contact between our personnel, that's what the story says, and passengers. You know, so we don't want to be touching these little bottles and handing them to people and whatnot. So we're going to limit alcohol sales. So you're not going to deliver Coca-Colas? Are you going to get rid of that touch, you know, too? Or is it just the booze? I mean, it just kind of, the whole thing is like, okay. You know, and which kind of surprises me, because if you stop and think about it, Hugh, how much money do the airlines make selling booze in coach?
A ton of money.
A lot.
A ton of money. And they're about to, you know, you talk about an industry that's been hit the hardest. Like, one of the industries that has been hit the hardest is the airline industry. And, you know, they were talking about, I remember reading stories a couple weeks ago where they were talking about it's going to take them a while to recoup some of the money that they lost. So, yeah, I mean, and, you know, for them to cut into the alcohol sales, yeah, that's going to be pretty tough as well.
Yeah, so, but, you know, again, you know, well, we want to take measures to, well, if you really want to take measures, then you're going to do it across the board. And all of a sudden you read into the story, well, okay, first class, yeah, well, first class, that's different. You people at coach, we, you know, in other words, we don't want to give, you know, the coronavirus spread around coach and stuff like that, but we don't care so much first class. You people in first class, you get the rona, we don't give a damn.
What, 6 seats, 10 seats up front? Yeah. And then, you know, the rest, yeah, six to 10 seats, so yeah, I can see that.
Yeah,
they definitely don't want to, you know. Yeah, I can see that.
You know, it just sometimes it just makes you wonder, you know, I mean, you just kind of shake your head and go, okay. You know, you make up a rule, and then the first thing you do is that you break the rule. You know, it's like, well, we're going to make this a hard and fast rule that nobody could do something, unless, of course, you've got a lot of money. And in which case, if you've got a lot of money, yeah, you live by a different rule. Okay, all right. Just checking. I want to make sure of that. But, yeah, so the airlines, if you're planning on having your drink on at the airlines, you might want to bring a flask. They don't, at this point, well, it better not be a metal flask. You'd never get
approved. Yeah, I was about to say, how you going to get a flask on the plane, John? What you talking about?
Well, plastic flask, right? I guess, right?
And how much liquid are you going to have? Because if you bring a plastic flask and if you're going through the checkout, yeah, they're going to check that. They checking that, John. You can't have all that.
Yeah, I guess you can't do any of that.
You better get one of those. If you really need to drink like that, right, you need to probably start filling those shampoo bottles and stuff up like that. And you look carry on with liquor, but you can only carry so many of those on as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't drink like you want to drink. If you got that kind of problem, you might not, you know, you might not want to fly. Yeah.
Do you have little bottles of airline booze at your place?
Nah.
Nah.
Nah, but you can get them. You can get them now at
the liquor store for like 99 cents. Right. You don't have to, because exactly. I hadn't even thought about that. They're like, you know, 99 cents or, you know, even that premium stuff's like $1.99. What do you pay? I don't even know how much they are on a plane.
No, but I've seen them. Go to the liquor store, and I might make a run to the liquor store today, John. I'll let you know how much they cost.
There you go. Morning menu coming up around the corner. Abe, the producer, three questions to ask. We don't know what they're going to be. Always love to ask you, and you can jump into the Twitter. If you haven't done it before, get on Twitter and answer the morning menu questions and get into the conversation. It's always a lot of fun. We'll do that next on this Friday morning with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game and worldwide at radio.com.
This is the Morning Menu on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning Menu time. Abe, the producer, three questions to ask. We always put them up on our Twitter as soon as the segment's over, and a lot of people love to weigh in. Morning to you, Abe. What up?
Good morning, fellas. Happy Friday to you.
You feeling better today, Abe? You're not in your bag this morning? You feel good?
I mean, I did have some more honey barbecue, although they were chicken tenders today, not boneless wings, so... Those were delicious, as they always are. It's Friday, man. I'm pretty happy.
So you had some chicken nuggets this morning, basically.
No, these were legitimate tenders, so actual tenders today.
Okay.
What's the difference between a chicken tender and a boneless wing? I'm just asking. I'm not trying to be
sarcastic. John, if you don't know the difference, I don't know. I can't do much for you.
I don't eat either of them. I know what a nugget is.
Well,
I don't know what
a tender is. Long, cylindrical. It's oddly shaped, and a boneless wing is.
Technical. He didn't got technical with the wing.
I don't need. I don't need.
Me. Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right. I just was curious.
So that's the difference, I guess. I don't know where else to go with that. I do know we're going to head to the appetizer round here of the morning menu. And we'll talk about a little later in the show, but it is Father's Day coming up on Sunday. Happy early Father's Day to everyone deserving out there. But as we do start in sports as it relates to Father's Day, what's your favorite all-time father-son duo in athletics history?
I would probably say, well... Okay, wait a minute. I was about to jump out there. Father, son. I don't know, Abe. I was thinking, because the first thing that jumped in my mind when you said father, son, I was thinking about Sugar Ray Leonard and his son when they used to do the commercials back in the day. But as far as athletes are concerned, I think Barry Bonds and his dad jump out, Ken Griffey Jr. and his dad.
Yeah, maybe. Ken Sr., Ken Jr.
Yeah.
Ken Sr. was a Brave at one point in his life. And, you know, the funny thing about that with both Barry Bonds and Ken Griffey Jr. is they were such great players that they were better players than their dads, and both Bobby Bonds and Ken Sr. were great players in their own right, Hugh.
Yeah. Those are the two that kind of jump out to me immediately when you said it, because I was like, man, yeah. But I was thinking about Sugar Ray Leonard and his little boy.
You know, this is gonna sound a little funny. I like him. I know he's 15-time fan favorite for NASCAR, Dale Jr. And Dale Jr.'s okay. I really liked his dad a lot, so I'll go with Dale Sr. and Dale Jr.
Yeah, that's a good one, because I was a big fan of Dale Jr. Still a big fan, for real. Good one.
Yeah, those are all good suggestions. And for me, the Griffeys, you know. The coolest part about the Griffeys was the short time they spent on the same team. I think that's a really, really cool story. They'd bat after each other in the lineup. At one point, I believe they did go back-to-back.
Yeah, I think they went back-to-back
home
runs at one point, right.
In a famous game. And there was some cool stuff there. I also like the Thompsons. Michael Thompson. Clay Thompson and Trace Thompson. Trace is, I believe he's still in the major leagues. And then obviously Michael, who's a basketball player, is now an analyst, has been for a while, an analyst for the Lakers, while his other son Clay is one of the superstars on the Warriors. So a multiple trio there. Homer, Bryce, Drew.
The Matthews, right? You know, Clay and you know, Bruce, and,
yeah,
and all those.
I remember
guys,
his brother Casey was he's a linebacker. He played for the Eagles for a while. Mm-hmm. Got drafted by the Eagles.
Yeah, they had a whole family. That was more than just father son. That one, that was all over.
Yeah.
They had a
Well,
the
same with the Boones.
And
know,
also
all the Bob Boone,
also
Aaron
Mayweather.
Boone. I think
Mayweather,
they were three generation baseball Jr. players, right? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, there's a couple of those. the Butlers as well. But Mayweather Jr., Mayweather Sr., father training son to become one of the all-time greats. Leila Ali and Muhammad Ali as well. So there's a couple really cool examples across sports. So some cool stuff there. And I'm sure we'll see more of that as we celebrate Father's Day on Sunday. Okay, main course here. Another big event this weekend is not the Kentucky Derby. It is the Belmont Stakes. It's a two-part question here. First, do you always watch the Kentucky Derby? And then two, are you going to go out of your way to make sure you catch the Belmont this weekend?
No and no to both of those. I might watch the Belmont because it's you know, us getting back to normal and watching sports. But, nah. I'm not going to go out of my way to do it.
Yes, I always watch the Derby, always have, since Cannonero II in 1960. And, if I remember to, Abe, I know that sounds weird, but, you know, I'll get busy on the weekend. If I remember to watch the Belmont, yes, I will watch the Belmont. Yeah, just because I'm curious as to how it will, you know, be and, you know, first leg of the Triple Crown, and do we have a – you know, a reverse Triple Crown winner, so to speak. So, you know, I'll say yes and yes.
Yeah, because only like a minute race, ain't it? Something like that. It ain't gonna last that
minutes.
Long.
Yeah, two yeah. minutes. Yeah, just under.
Yeah, this one maybe just like you mentioned there, a touch shy of 2 minutes as they shortened the distance. I would say I do relatively always watch the Derby. My thing about the Derby is I try and time out when the race is going to start.
Yeah, me too.
Because there's like 5 hours of coverage for 2 minutes and 4 seconds. And so I try and only watch like maybe 3 minutes and 4 seconds, kind of tune in right as they're lining up the last horse, and then off they go. You know, I'll probably watch the Belmont this weekend. I'm kind of like you, John, and it should be on my radar. But if I forget about it, I'm not going to be upset. I'm not rearranging my day to make sure I'm in front of a TV at, you know, 6:08 or whatever they go off at, like the Derby would. So, but I'll try and watch it. You know, there's a UFC on this weekend, so Arsenal plays another crap game at some point.
You know, and it's so, you know, and I don't know which race on the card the Belmont is. You know, one of the interesting little side facts of the Kentucky Derby that people don't know is that there are nine races every Derby day, and the Kentucky Derby is always the eighth race. There's actually a race always after the Kentucky Derby. And I always felt, you know, I only went twice, but, you know, I was not one of these people that you know, as soon as the Derby gets over, the exodus out of Churchill Downs is, like, unbelievable. And I always felt bad for the other horses watching everybody leave going, nobody cares.
Yeah, you felt bad for the horses, though, John, or the jockeys?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think the horses are going to take offense to seeing
you. Yeah, I was thinking of that. You feel bad for the horses or the jockeys? Because the horses don't care. They're just running.
Horse 2 says to Horse 3, why are they leaving?
Why are everybody leaving?
But wait a second. That's a really good point, because I always had, you know, I had one of the big trainers I was interviewing one time, and I asked him, I said, horses know, because I was covering the Derby, that this is, the horses know. He said, don't kid yourself. The horses know this is big. They come out and see all these people.
How did he know? Is he Dr. Doolittle?
I don't know, but he says, oh, yeah, these horses know. They go, okay, this ain't regular. Look at all this. Yeah, there's something special here. He says they know.
George in the jungle over here speaking to the animals.
I'm just telling you what he, I'm just telling you what he told me.
Did Chipper tell you what she wanted for dinner tonight?
Chicken, as always, is, I believe, what she would like. Some of mine, actually. She's maybe partial to honey barbecue as well.
By the way, we're good with Chipper after the end of the show yesterday, right? Everything good?
Dude, we'll find out at the end of the day show, I guess. She's kind of already up and moving around somewhere around here, so. Might be a problem. Dessert round here, morning menu. Your final of three questions here on a Friday morning. Toaster and microwave. How often do you use your toaster versus how often do you use your microwave?
Oh, man, I probably microwave something every day. Now, my toaster, I haven't used it in a while because I haven't had a nice little bagel in a couple of days. But I would say my microwave every day.
Yeah, I think the microwave to toaster ratio is 1,000 to 1. I think I made one piece of toast this year, in the last year. Yeah, so I'm going to say like 1,000 to 1. I use the microwave 2-3 times a day. So, yes, 1,000 to 1. Not exaggerating. I think it's 1,000 to 1.
Yeah, the toaster is oft seldom used here at the Gordon household. The one thing is Pop-Tarts. I do roll some Pop-Tarts in there. I know you actually can microwave Pop-Tarts, but come on, let's get serious. I do toast Pop-Tarts, but that's every once in a while. I'm kind of with you. I use a microwave every day. I would say multiple times. I've already used it once, obviously, this morning for the honey barbecue tenders. At some point, I'll be using it again later today as well. So, yeah.
Good times.
Morning Menu goes up on our Twitter at 929 The Game, and people like to jump into all of that. And Hugh, I don't know. I mean, how these horses know? I just know he told me that.
That bothered you that he that we clowned you about that. Yeah, how does he know though, John?
You're not clowning me. I'm just telling you what
he know. And you believed him? And you believed that he knew?
Well,
hey, how do the horses feel when the people leave? They're sad. They make little sad horse faces.
You know. Yeah, I sort of believed in that these horses are smart enough, you know, as they race, that when they come out, you know, if you're racing like at Belmont and there's nobody there, you're kind of going, oh, okay, where did everybody go?
John, a horse has two things. It's either things I can eat or things I can't eat.
Why the long face? Because I'm a horse.
Why the long face? I just passing it along,
a horse. I'm mad because everybody left.
Don't shoot the messenger here. What message are the owners sending in Major League Baseball? What message are the players sending? And the message is really twofold. It is we don't have baseball and the commissioner stinks. We'll talk more next as we continue counting down to a non-baseball season with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and, of course, worldwide at radio.com.
Now, your game time traffic.
Stephanie Stallworth, detailed traffic leads to the game time traffic center update sponsored by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Clear that wreck we've been talking about for a while with 85 north up by Indian Trail. Heads up for some tire debris, though, 75 south of State Route 92 Alabama Road. Affecting the right travel lane of 3. This Father's Day, shop for dad where dad shops for dad. Academy Sports and Outdoors. Find curated dad picks you know he'll love and get free in-store and curbside pickup. Father's Day is your.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.